May God's words be spoken, may God's words be heard. Amen. Please be seated. As I've said before, I love that phrase in our collect of the day, ineffable joys. Isn't that a great word, ineffable? Which means too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. And I love it especially today because I am feeling ineffable joy because the change in the hour allowed me to sleep in an extra bit this morning. Rest of you guys too, right? Thanks be to God for that. And we have collective joy as a community because today we celebrate All Saints, a high holy day in which we remember those who passed on into the Saints triumphant, that heavenly company of heaven, that together with us, the saints militant on earth, form the communion of saints. And that is an Easter story. And there's nothing more wonderful, more joyous, more love-filled than resurrection for the saints who went before us and for the living saints we are. And it's an Easter story we hear today in the gospel. In the Gospel of John, read a moment ago, we heard the story of the one that Jesus loved, Lazarus. Now, as you know, I was raised Baptist, and as you all know, we did a lot of Bible reading and a lot of Bible drills, and we had to memorize books of the Bible, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, okay, and I didn't want a pin for that when I was a kid, and in particular, thank you. And in particular, we needed to be able to recite a passage from memory. And this story was a fave. Because back then we used the King James Version. And that meant that the part where it says, Jesus began to weep was reduced to? Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Excellent. It was definitely the go-to verse for those of us in vacation Bible school. But let's look at the story itself. Jesus arrives after the death of his beloved Lazarus, and he is greeted by one of the sisters of Lazarus, Mary. He's taken to the tomb. He tells them to roll away the stone, to which Martha, Lazarus's other sister, tells him, there's going to be a stench. I mean, Jesus, he's been in there for 4 days. Okay, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it's a classic line. But he has him roll away the stone, calls out to Lazarus, and he comes out. And here's the best part. Out of the tomb walks this guy covered in cloth like a modern-day mummy movie. I mean, it's perfect. What a great reading to have on All Saints, the eve of which we call All Holy Eve or All Hallows Eve or otherwise known as Halloween. All Saints Day is actually November 1st. We transfer it to Sunday. So that's totally awesome, right? A mummy coming out of a tomb is a great story. Anyway, he comes out, and then Jesus does something we need to pay attention to. He gets others involved. He sends the crowd to unbind Lazarus. First he has them roll away the stone, and then he has them unbind Lazarus, release him from the bondage of death in which they find themselves and in which they themselves enshrouded him. And through that miracle, new life is given to many who were there as they followed him. Amidst all that's happening in the world today, this gospel is important for us to hear. Just last week, and Lordy, can we just take a breath and think about all the horrific rhetoric that we heard just over this past week in the news? It started last Sunday night, on the Sabbath, no less. The former president of the United States held a rally in Madison Square Garden that was reminiscent, likely intentionally so, of a pro-Nazi rally held in the same venue back in 1939. I say intentionally so because the speakers that night echoed some of the same vile speech heard decades ago. One senior advisor shouted that America is for Americans and Americans only. That'll be good news for native tribal folks who would probably say, don't let the door hit you on the way out, folks.
Yeah.
Another made a joke about Puerto Rico being an island of garbage. Certainly matches the former guy's own description of America itself, except we know why Puerto Rico was singled out, don't we? The entire event was a hate fest, on the Lord's Day, no less. As the New York Times put it, it was, quote, a carnival of grievances, misogyny, and racism, unquote. It was also un-American, but more important for us to understand today, it was un-Christian. I mean, one of the speakers at this event even held a crucifix as he railed against Vice President Harris, calling her the devil and the Antichrist. Seriously, he held a crucifix on a Sunday and waved it around like a weapon at a political rally. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just too sick, too horrible for a normal person to even imagine. The cross is a symbol of the brutality of empire against a people and the victory of love over hate. This, folks, this is Christian nationalism. And as I have preached over and over again and will until it is defeated, Christian nationalism is antithetical to all that Jesus taught and is the biggest oxymoron of our time. Christian nationalism is an attempt to align Jesus with empirical power. Power that willingly abuses children of God. Power that destroys God's creation without regret. And seriously, have these people even read the Gospels? And let's be clear. This idea of a Christian nation, well, it doesn't include people like us. Like those gathered here. This is a diverse congregation with people from all over the world, LGBTQ+ people and folks from a variety of economic circumstances. That is not what Christian nationalism seeks, because it is a white, straight, citizen-only movement in which only men are empowered to make decisions about their lives. And it must be stopped. We must do everything we can to call it out as holy against everything that Jesus taught us. I mean, I may be just a simple priest, but I do know what being a follower of Jesus means. To feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, visit the sick and imprisoned, or in other words, love one another as he loved us. Love does not demean people from other countries. Love does not allow women to bleed to death in hospital parking lots. Love does not call for the execution of people who disagree with you. Love does not hate, threaten, abuse, neglect, or deny the dignity of another. Love weeps for the pain of others, not rejoice in their pain. Love does not seek power to hurt, but only grace to heal. And that brings us back to our gospel story today. Because clearly there are still tombs in which the dead, or the nearly dead, have been pushed. There are still people bound up by neglect, indifference, poverty, homelessness, addiction, depression, and oppression. And there's still a stench of bigotry, hate, and violence that permeates everywhere. Jesus is weeping now, to be sure. So where's the good news in all of that? Well, the good news is that Jesus moved through his grief to do something about what he saw, what he heard, what he experienced. And the good news is that he also invited those who follow him to join him in removing the stones of death, in freeing the captive, in experiencing resurrection. Jesus is inviting us too, calling us to join him in this work, to join us in this saint work. Because that is what it is. And to help us understand what I mean by saint work, as we do in our stewardship season, each of you will be given a gift, blessed at the altar. And today you'll be given a cardstock hand like this one, with the name and date of a saint from the Episcopal Church calendar. Now, some of these names may be familiar to you, like this one, Absalom Jones, February 13th, or Sojourner Truth, or Thomas Merton. But others likely will not be. If we want to know what Jesus is calling us to do today, we need to start by understanding what following Jesus really means when he calls us to live out our lives as his followers. The lives of these saints, while not perfect, are inspirational. These were everyday folks who were called into extraordinary work in the name of Jesus. And their willingness to answer Christ's call transformed the world. So take this hand home. And even if you think you know about this saint, look them up to find out more. And let their lives become a beacon of possibility for your own. And as you, by the way, before I continue, I just want to tell you too, that these are not the names of a bunch of old white guys. There are some old white guys in there. But there are people from all around the world, men and women, people who lived within this last century and people who lived centuries ago. And as you receive the Eucharist today, as you receive the love of Christ Jesus in it, let this name of the saint be a reminder of all the saints who around the table stand with us, the ones the church honors in the calendar, as well as the ones we personally know and love, because they're all present with us. Remember the words that we say just before the Sanctus. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn. And while these saints are always present and available to us, it is in that moment at the Eucharist that we know they join us here. But they aren't the only saints present. Those who have left this earthly plane are, as I said, the saints triumphant, that great cloud of witnesses who walk with God in eternal light and love. We are the saints militant, the ones walking with the Holy Spirit on the earth today, the ones filled with the light of Christ and sharing that through our own brokenness to those who live in darkness. And together we are the communion of saints. And Lordy, we have a lot of work to do, don't we, all us saints? We live in a turbulent time, as we saw on Sunday, as we see nearly every single day on the news and in our lives, people are spewing racist, sexist, and homophobic rhetoric. They incite violence against the marginalized. Their voices are loud and angry, and every single day, seemingly damn time we place we go and any time during the day. It's just like the former President Obama said when he compared it to a neighbor using a leaf blower right outside your window all day, every day. It's exhausting. Are you all exhausted?
Yes.
And that's part of the point, isn't it? To wear us down. No doubt that it can lead some to feel there is no hope, that there is nothing they can do, so that they retreat into the darkness with their grief, into the safety of their personal tombs. That is why the words we sang this morning are so important. O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle. They in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. These saints are here with us now, and every single day of our lives here on earth. And one thing is for sure, don't underestimate this communion of saints into which we belong. Because together, we are a mighty force. Together with that great cloud of witnesses, we can work miracles. Together, we can bring forth a wave of resurrection to a weary world. And we also know from the story of Lazarus today that no matter how difficult the road we walk, no matter how dead we may feel, no matter how dark our tomb, we are not alone, nor are we hopeless, because Jesus will come for us too. He will raise us up into new life, look for us to join him in his work, and call us to unbind the broken and lifeless in our midst. We are never dead to him, but alive. Jesus is calling us out of our tomb, where we have been hiding, where we have tried to comfort ourselves, where we have been curled up in a ball, covering ourselves over and praying for a better day. Jesus is telling us that we must move through our grief to make that better day a reality, that we are not dead, but alive in Him, that we must come out of that tomb and live, that others might live. And in today's language, that means you get yourself out of bed and into church. And then you leave here and get out in the streets and fight for justice. And dang it, you get your souls to the polls and vote too. Vote! Because young, pregnant women are dying, bleeding out or succumbing to sepsis because they are being denied health care. Vote! Because there are people being marginalized, abused, threatened, and denied their rightful dignity because of who they are or who they love. Vote! Because all of creation, God's handiwork, is groaning from the pain of our abuse and neglect. Never before have a people been called forward from their tombs of comfort to put their faith values into action by their vote. The values of justice, peace, love, and goodwill for all. So be the saint on earth you are called to be, and get your souls to the polls and vote. And may God be with us all in the difficult days ahead. Amen.